The martyrs had to endure to the end of their life.
Yes.
You and I must endure to the end of our life.
Yes.
Most of the martyrs did not have to endure a long time. Their choice to take Christ as their Lord and their Savior often, if not always, their life was taken in a very short time.
Yes.
But they had to endure to the end. So I'm calling this the dividing point between the martyrs of history and today's martyrs. It is a test of endurance. You might say, well, where are the martyrs of today? I don't really see anybody being martyred as in the history. I don't either. I think we're all aware of the countries where they're suffering persecution, and maybe we don't really know everything they're going through, but in our country, we have been so blessed. Our country has been founded on the very principles of God and His Word, and we've never known anything else. We might call somebody treating us bad and call it persecution. We really don't know what persecution is. And I'm not up here to try to make any kind of predictions, because in my heart I feel that we will probably, not prophesying, just telling you how I feel, we will probably go to the judgment as we are. Because you and I are facing a different kind of martyrdom than those from history. Someone might say, well, I really don't see anybody giving their life for the sake of the gospel or for the sake of Christ. Literally, I don't see that either. But I believe that we will be making choices which has to do with our convictions, that we will be possibly ridiculed.
Yeah.
I don't think that we're going to face the same situations as the martyrs of history, but I think we'll have to have the same mindset. I want to just say that I am so thankful to be in this country.
Yes, I am too.
And I mentioned in some of the other messages, I said, how many times have we come to service and somebody will say, I thank the Lord that we're not living in fear of meeting together. And oh, we have been so blessed. But at the same time, we can just become so complacent. We are often, I spoke to the young people this morning, asking them where Christ came from. They didn't have a ready answer. I said, well, where did the devil come from? Well, we don't know where the devil came from. We don't need to know. But we need to know where Christ came from. We need to know the scriptures that verify that he was with the Father in his glory before the foundation of the earth. We need to know those things. So I want to enlarge a little bit on the word conviction again. It was in the last message, but I want to enlarge on it. I may speak on it for more than just this message. The word conviction is a strong, unshakable belief and trust, and then I'm adding the rest of it because you won't find it in a dictionary. It's who we are. It's what we are. What we represent in the world. We represent Christ.
Yes.
We represent the church of God. And the church is built on a strong foundation of truth.
Yes.
So I'm going to add it this way. It's a strong, unshakable belief and trust in the standards. You see, the martyrs of old didn't have time to be informed of standards of holiness. They simply had to confess and profess Christ, and it marked them many times for death.
Yes.
But you and me, we have to live life.
Right.
We have to study the Word to show ourselves approved unto God. We have to meet together because the Word of the Lord says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We're not out here on some island and just living day in and day out and no battles. We are faced with life itself and battles and trials and tests and things that we have to endure and physical afflictions and mental afflictions and emotional feelings, and all of these things are part of our humanity. And as Jesus said in the 17th chapter of John, these are in the world.
Yeah.
We're in the world. He said, I'm not praying for you to take them out of the world. I'm praying for you to keep them from the evil that is in the world. He said also in that prayer, and I told the young people that's the last prayer that he prayed before he went to the cross. Well, he prayed for himself in the garden.
Yes.
But that he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for you and me.
Yes.
Because he skipped on down and he said, I don't pray for these only. I don't pray for my disciples only. I pray for all who will believe.
Yes.
And it goes down to our year,
yes,
this generation. He prayed for us.
Yes.
And he is still praying for us.
Yes.
He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He knows what we go through.
Yes.
He knows the battles of our mind.
Yes.
He knows the stresses of life. He knows where the enemy tries to attack.
Yes.
And don't you believe that Satan knows his time is short?
Yes.
I had a battle this week. How I appreciate the saints that helped support me. The enemy was attacking me in my mind, in my spirit, in my emotions, in my faith, in my confidence. That's his job at the close of this age.
Yes.
And you and I must be strong in faith, strong in conviction. We must be convinced.
Yes.
This is the way. So I put down here, we need to have a strong, unshakable belief and trust in the standards that we have been taught. We haven't been taught them from a man's judgment. We've been taught them from the Word of God. And it has been passed down to us. I thank God for the family of God and for the older saints that have gone on to their reward and have left us such a wonderful example, and they taught us the truth. I didn't have to work my way out of some sectarian place and search for the truth, though there's been saints that have.
Yeah.
Sister Catherine, I had a cassette tape of her, and she was telling how she got saved. I hadn't listened to it in many years. And she actually got saved in another church. I think it was called the Church of the Living God, something like that. She was in California. But when she got saved, she got a hold of something from God that was not presented to her in that church. And she began to cry out to the Lord and say, "Lord, surely you have a people that believes like me, that lives like you want us to live." And she cried out to the Lord for that for some time. She moved to another town, had a job in another city there. And the thought came to her to go back to visit the church that she had come out of. At first she thought it couldn't be the Lord, but it continued to be on her mind, so she went back to the city where she had been, went to church. They had bought them a different church, a more uptown church, she called it. So one day she said to someone in that church, she said, "Well, what happened to your old little chapel?" "Oh, we rented it." "Well, what kind of people are renting it?" "Well, they call themselves the original Church of God." Oh, that sounded good to her. She says, "Well, do you have a phone number? I'd like to talk to them." And that's just the beginning. Sister Catherine found the truth and a people that lived the truth, practiced it, believed it, and were convicted of it, were willing to stand by it at the peril of their lives. Well, nobody had to give their lives, but you're going to have that mindset. You're going to have to believe this way at the peril of your life. And I'm not saying any of us are going to lose our life with it. We may lose the disfavor of our family and our people around us. But God's calling for us to have a mindset like the martyrs that I believe. We're going to have it for the doctrines and for the teachings of the Holy Scripture. I wrote down that conviction is also when we are convinced. You know, I have said this to this congregation more times than I can count. But there was something when I was a little girl. And oftentimes we will see the little children and maybe they're reading a book or looking like they are or playing in church. I want to tell you, I listened when I was a little girl, and I believed it. I believed what I heard. I didn't understand it because I was just a little girl, but I believed it. I believed the Church of God was the one true way. I believed it. I believed the things that was preached. And I said to myself, when I grow up, I want to be a saint all the way. But I didn't. I went out. But it was still in my heart.
Yes.
And there came a day that God drew me back.
Amen. Lord.
I was at a crossroads. I had so many desires to take on. I wouldn't let myself take certain things, wear certain things, do certain things. I wouldn't let myself do it. But I was at a crossroads where if I had not yielded to the Lord, I would have. I would not be here today. We need to be convinced that this is the way. I'm thinking about truth. We need to be convinced we hear that term. I've heard it all my life. This is truth. Well, Jesus said in one place, he said, that he himself should bear witness of the truth. And then he said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then as he stood before Pilate, and Pilate was questioning him, he said that he was truth. And Pilate said, what is truth? But you know, Pilate didn't wait for an answer. He turned and walked away. You know, we need to hear the truth.
Yes.
And understand the truth. Jesus went on and he said, I am the way.
Yes.
I am the truth.
Yes.
I am the life.
Yes.
We need to be convinced. There's no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other life. Lord, help us to be convicted and convinced of the Word of God. Do you know you need to be convinced that this is God's Word?
Yes.
That it's been tested and tried and proven. It works. That God approves of this word right here. And it's not just for my grandparents' generation.
Right.
It's not for those way back in 1880.
Right.
It's for every generation. The young people that are here today. Accept the truth.
Yes.
Accept the word of God.
Yes.
Don't draw away from it. Allow it to draw you.
I
spoke this to the young people this morning. I really didn't know I was going to teach it until like 9:15. But the Lord gave it to me. And our affections and our love is so important. When it comes to having convictions for the right things.
Yes.
Jesus said many things. Ye shall find me when you seek for me with your whole heart. Our heart has so much to do with this. It says also in one place, more than one place. It's even in the Old Testament. And I gave it, I think, in last Sunday's message. That we need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul. If you love God with all of your soul, you know what you're doing? You're loving Him with all of your life.
Yeah.
Your soul is your life.
Yeah.
And so we love Him with all of our life. We love Him with all of our mind. All of our might. When we pursue something wholeheartedly, we will not recant. We will not denounce. We will not turn to the left or the right. There will always be, the scripture says, this voice that will say, if you do turn to the right or to the left, it will say, this is the way. Walk ye in it.
Yes.
These are not new scriptures. This is to remind us, refresh us, re-inspire us, challenge us, awaken us.
Yes.
We're in a sleepy time. We're in a time where the cares of life are pressing in on us. We are... And I said this to the young people, we are not sensitive. We're not sensitive to the fact that Jesus actually gave His life's blood for me.
Yes.
And you. Oh, I want to tell you, it was not a little event. He chose it. He was God in the flesh. And He bore pain and suffering and torture for you and me.
Yes.
And we can just take that and just talk about it and not really allow it to sink down in our hearts. I think we're in a time we need to let it sink down in our hearts.
Yes, amen.
We need to be awakened. I'm going to be a martyr for Christ. Oh, maybe not like those martyrs. But you and I can be fearful of even standing for the truth. The same fears that probably affected the martyrs as they made their decision, am I willing to really make this choice? You and I can have those same kind of fears. So to be convicted and convinced of the Word of God. I firmly believe and I confess with my mouth. He says if we confess that we believe He is the Son of God, I believe it.
Yes, amen.
I have no doubt.
Amen.
I have no doubt as to what the Scripture says when it is ridiculed by the world and discounted. I believe He was the Son of God. There is a scripture in 1 Corinthians 8 and 4 and 5. And I insert this scripture because the martyrs faced many gods, idols, that they were commanded to worship. I may have told this one last Sunday, I'm not sure, but this one girl, I'm going to tell it again. This one girl, young woman, she had a little child, and she was from a very wealthy family there at Rome. Her father had influence. He did everything he could to save his daughter from martyrdom with his influence. He tried to clear up to the actual judgment of her. He was talking to her. You don't have to believe it in your heart. Just offer the little pinch to the idol. You don't have to mean it. You will get to come home. You will get to be with your child. And he was trying to pull her back clear until she made her final statement, I am a Christian.
Amen.
And then she received her judgment. Oh Lord, help us that we will not recant on the truth. This scripture in the 8th chapter in verses 4 and 5, it says, the latter part of verse 4 is what I want. We know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no other God but one. Are you convinced?
Yes.
Verse 5, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth. And then in parentheses, he says, as there be gods many and lords many. What do you think that means? We're really not in a land of idol worship. Oh, we're aware of it. We understand that there are people who do worship idols. It's not as profound to us as it was probably in the time of the real martyrs. But let me tell you what this is being said. There's many gods of this world. There's many idols that men will choose above Christ,
yes,
above the truth, and go after it, and allow it to rule and reign in their lives. There's more gods of this world than I can name. But by the help of the Lord, I hope to name some. Maybe not in this message, but in a future time. So there's gods out there that is vying for your worship. Or for you to recant. Lay down your convictions. Jesus said, familiar scripture, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do we believe it? Or do we feel like, oh, this is putting me in bondage? I can't do this, and I can't do that. I testify that the Lord has been so sweet and so precious to me. When any time down through my life, when he put his finger on something in my life, called for it. You see, he wants a personal relationship with you and me. And he wants to be able to search our lives, and he wants us to even give him permission to go before the Lord and use the scripture that says, search me and try me and see if there be a wicked way in me. That's what the scripture says.
Yes.
And when you and I do that, and we give him the privilege and the permission to search us, and he finds something there. Might not bother you at all, but it would be something that would hinder me.
That's right.
Before I come to the end of my life. It can be something innocent.
Yes.
It can be something that's just a seed that will lead to something else.
Yep, Lord.
But God knows.
Yes.
And he's calling for us to be honest with our own soul. He's calling for us to be honest with him. God can work with honesty.
Yes.
He cannot work with dishonesty. But he comes then and he begins to deal with our heart, and he calls for this thing in my life. My testimony is that every time God has dealt with me in my life, it was with the sweetest voice. Most tender words. He was not an accuser. He didn't drive me. He led me. He wants to lead each one of us just one step at a time. He's not going to ask you to be where you are today and tomorrow have the convictions of somebody that's 50 years old. He wants to reveal himself to you. Personally.
Yes.
And he wants you to feel his love. I'm going to try to imitate the voice of the Lord when he has called for something in my life. He says, won't you give it up for me? One time he said, won't you give it up for the gospel? And it was said so sweetly, I couldn't resist it. And I want to tell you, it became my conviction. I haven't looked back. I didn't go and meddle with it anymore. I didn't give in. To this day, he gives you power and grace that you can live the truth. You don't have to back up.
Yeah.
You don't have to give up. He's calling for us to go forward. Thank the Lord. So the Word of God is very important that we love it as much as we love Christ. Love the truth. Love the church. You will not soon depart from the church of God as we know it. Oh, but you say, I know that there's hypocrites. I know that get your eyes off of everything else. The scripture speaks about us making a covenant with our eyes. We're going to have to make a covenant with our eyes. Don't look at people. You're not going to stand for them at the judgment. They're not going to stand for you. You're going to stand for yourself. And God is wanting me to love His Word and love Him and love His people with an abiding love. The Word of the Lord becomes my rule then of what I believe. I'm going to insert this thought. It just now came to me. I didn't think of this before. There is so much out there that you can read. Religious materials. I'm going to caution you. Be careful what you read. If you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're on dangerous ground. Why do I say that? Because it is the Holy Ghost that guides us, teaches us, leads us into all truth. It's the office of the Holy Spirit in my life. It also is a protector.
Yes.
I have done it before. I have picked up something to read, and the Holy Ghost would convict me. Lay that thing down. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. But don't meddle with other materials. The Lord will guide you. So the rule of my belief is the Word of God. And I'm testifying now. I am convicted of the truth. And I'm convinced. And you know, one of the definitions we gave last week was, I don't have to have proof or evidence. We're living in a world where people are trying to figure out how the Red Sea separated. They don't have the kind of belief that this thing just happened by God. They have to have some kind of a logical, scientific explanation. Don't be that way. Don't feel like that you need an explanation of how this happened and how that happened. Just believe that the power of God made it to happen. Amen. So, I've still said that I'm thinking about what the Word says concerning, and I can say it about the martyrs. They accepted all that they had to accept, which wasn't as much as what you and I have to accept, because we're in a different time. But this thought came to me, that when they simply accepted Christ and believed He was the Son of God and they gave their life, it was counted for righteousness. And we know there's a scripture that said Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And if you and I believe these things, feel the conviction and the weight of them, it will be counted for righteousness. So we must believe his word above everything. And now I want to speak just a little bit concerning the laws of our land. I am going to have to believe the laws of God above the laws of our land. I know that we have young people here that have been born right in the midst of broken down morals and laws, and you didn't know anything else. But we that are older have seen our country in a different time, different morals, different standards. We have witnessed the breaking down of those morals. We've witnessed the breaking down of standards, even in the religious world. The religious world was once very moral, had standards. So I would say that in the last 50 years, the laws of our land have changed drastically. All of those laws have been against the laws of God. You see, our whole nation was founded on the principles of God's law. But we have people that are wanting to believe they're okay and still do whatever they want. I have preached a message a number of years ago. We were at Guthrie, and they were celebrating the uniting of Indian Territory and Oklahoma Territory, and it was depicted through a marriage between a cowboy and an Indian maid. And so they read some of the laws of the time that this happened. And I'm telling you, the Lord opened my mind. At the time that that happened, did you know liquor was outlawed? You could not buy liquor in the state of Oklahoma. You couldn't produce it. It was counted a crime. You could be arrested. And the reading that they gave, they continued to tell how our political things began to change. Time went on, and here the whim of the people began to want liquor. Eventually, they changed the law. But you couldn't just buy it in a restaurant. And so people started wanting to have liquor at a restaurant. And they would wink when they gave their order. And it was called liquor by the wink. And if they winked a certain way, then they knew they could go back and get them a glass of liquor or something. The Lord showed me the floodgates were opened. When the floodgate was opened and the whole world was flooded, could you call it back? You could not. That's what's happening in our society. There reaches a point you cannot call it back. You can only take a stand for yourself. That's all. You can only have convictions for yourself. So that's what's happening in the laws that we have that are so drastically changed, that our young people and our children will face many different things that I never even dreamed of in my youth. I called them disgraceful laws. Disgraceful laws that are contrary to God's law. And it's really common in at least two generations and maybe three in our society. So we have to become a martyr to the laws of God and stand and be convicted that the laws of God supersede the laws of man. I have one thing I want to bring to our minds, and it's evolution. That's an old one. We don't hardly hear much about evolution anymore, do we? I want to give you a little history of it. It started as a theory and introduced in the 19th century. By 1860, it had widespread acceptance. 1860. But in the beginning, if a teacher preached or taught evolution, they could be arrested. Why do you think that was? Because the people still believed in the creation. They believed the word of God. But over time, little by little, evolution began to wear down the beliefs of the people that God created all things by his spoken word. They couldn't explain it scientifically. And so now, did you know, I don't know, I could not find this information. I think every state requires evolution to be taught. Now, what does that do to our young people and our children? Doesn't that create doubts in who God is and what he is? It does. And that's what the enemy is trying to destroy, is our faith of who God is and what he is. Evolution seems sort of like child's play right now, compared to some of these other things. But do you know what it was? It was the seeds that ultimately produced a fruit that they could take it to the immoral laws. So today's martyr will not recant. There's a scripture in Daniel, the 7th chapter, and I think I've read this in another one of the messages. It's just so important that we keep these in our mind and our understanding. And it's Daniel, the 7th chapter, verse 25. And I'm not going to tell you that this is actually Satan, because it doesn't say that. It's actually prophecy of somebody else in that period of history, but it so sounds like Satan. I feel like that we are not doing the scriptures harm by trying to present this. The 25th verse, it says, "He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." I think I know that it's Satan. That's what he's trying to do to the people of God right now. Wear you down in your convictions. And then it says, and he thinks to change times and laws. Sure sounds like Satan to me.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't do it overnight. He's willing to work a lifetime to tear down convictions, spiritual convictions. So now, each of us today, we need to be aware of the laws that have changed our society, changing the times. You know, I remember years ago in the 90s, and anything that would come up that would expose the wickedness of that time, you'd hear people say, oh, but this is the 90s. It was like, we're more enlightened. We understand more. That's not important anymore. Oh, this is the 90s. I'm going to close with a scripture over in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, because I think it's very important for our parents. I'm going to be reading verses 4 through 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words shall be in thine heart. And thou," this is what I want to give, "thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and in thy gates." Parents, make sure your children understand the truth.
Yes.
Teach it to them. Have convictions for yourself, that they too will have convictions of what is right and what is wrong. That they will feel it just as strongly, that they will not lay it down or recant. They will stand for these things that are so, you know, this word came to me this morning. It was diabolical. One of the definitions says it was devilish. Some of the laws of our land is devilish and came from the pits of hell. And if you voice that, you may be ridiculed. Is ridicule really persecution? Are you going to stand for what is truth and right? Or will you recant? Well, maybe... I'll tell you what, we have in our family people that have accepted some of these lifestyles that wouldn't have years ago.
Yes.
Something wore them down and affected their vision. Oh, our young people, I pray for you. Lord, help us. Our final little appeal. Keep your vision. Be convinced. Be convicted and hold to your convictions. Amen.